Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Prayers across the nation for these the situation that unfolded, a developing situation as we still await updates, but 7 police officers responding to that suicide in progress call, shot and wounded by a suspect who was later found dead inside an apartment. It went down in San Antonio. All the officers sustained injuries, were rushed to the hospital, and many of them are already being released this morning. So thank God for that. A scary situation, as officers say that a suspect, it was a suicide call. These are very dangerous calls. We talk about this all the time. A SWAT team mobilized. Police officers tried to negotiate with this man for several hours to surrender peacefully, but they did later find him inside and he was deceased. So they will, we'll find out this morning if indeed he died from the gunfire back and forth between the officers, or was this indeed by suicide? So, by the way, this guy had been arrested January 18th for violation of a protection order, but had been released on bail the very next day because of policies there in San Antonio.
There you go. That's what we do. Get out of jail for free cards. No longer just a monopoly.
Well, I always look on days on Sean Farris Fridays. I always look for
tuna updates.
The tuna heist update. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, we don't have a tuna heist, but it was an incredible scene in Philadelphia's Hunting Park section where these thieves just left all this destruction following a smash and grab. Not your ordinary smash and grab. You should see this. So it was last night at the Lucky Garden Chinese restaurant. This is the 4300 block of North 8th Street. And it's a really popular place. They've been there about 40 years, according to all the neighbors and whatnot. This crime was caught, of course, on camera because there are surveillance cameras everywhere. But in this one, these suspects dress head to toe in black. Of course, they're wearing their masks. They go into the restaurant. They wrap a chain around the ATM, which was secured to the floor with these huge steel cables.
Man.
And they go outside, hook the chain to the back of their vehicle, a big minivan, and take off. And this thing is pulled right out of the floor.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Guaranteed in advance they were surveying the area. They knew exactly the methodology they were going to use, you know. Yep, this was not just the spur of the moment. Hey, let's just pull an ATM straight out of the nuts and bolts of the ground.
He said this was a Chinese restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah. Lucky Garden. Did they go back for seconds, 10 minutes later?
Stop.
They weren't full yet?
Stop. But I'm pumped. They say that this ATM contained about $2,000, and they feel like these two guys with their minivan and their chains, they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So have they done this before? I don't know. We had heard about this maybe 6 months ago or so, but are these the same guys?
You say a minivan, huh?
It was a minivan.
Dawn, where were you last night around 8:45 p.m.?
I was not at the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
I did not go back for seconds.
These dopes, too. All that for $2,000. Wait, do you really think the ATM has like $10 million in it? I mean, seriously.
Beats working for a living, I guess.
Yeah. And multiple people, you divide that up. Was it worth $600 a person?
I mean, we do every April. Odyssey does those, you know, park cleanup days.
Yeah,
right.
And we went to a park a year or two ago, and there was an ATM machine. Somebody had then opened it up and
in the weeds,
then
right?
They threw it into the weeds.
I remember
Yeah.
It's the ATM graveyard.
I'm looking around. I've got like my little pooper scooper in a bag. I'm like, I don't think I'll be able to scoop that up.
We are getting more information and new information. I know we'll talk about it today as far as all of the flurry of executive orders by President Trump. We've heard more overnight about ICE raids. Everybody's playing the Bill Malugin and his undercover, right? His undercover video that if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. But now they're saying that New York City, among the bigger cities, is going to coordinate with ICE, the ICE enforcement, as Trump cracks down on these criminals. And the policy on the raids in churches, though, and schools, according to Mayor Adams in New York, that's a little hazy. Here in Philadelphia, city officials have been meeting. Advocacy groups have been meeting. They say we are a sanctuary city. We still have no word from Mayor Sherelle Parker.
Well, she did. She was able to spell Eagles.
Yes.
One more time.
She was a good sport about it.
I agree. That's actually the take I had. I know people's, you know, they were looking at her at that little rally yesterday, and everybody's like labeling the video of she still doesn't know how to spell it. If you actually take the time to watch
she doesn't even,
I don't think she actually utters any letters.
Well, she said, she's making a joke here.
Yeah. On the record, on today, we have to show the nation that your mayor's also a good student. So, Philly, are you ready to teach your mayor?
Yeah!
Teach your mayor how do we spell Eagles?
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-R.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, she was making a joke about the fact that she wasn't, and she was on the WIP afternoon show yesterday too, and she spelled it.
Good job.
So
cute.
Yeah,
cute pivot there.
Yeah. By the way, you ever notice that she looks like Tracy Morgan?
You shut up.
Is that true?
Shut up.
Dawn didn't even say that. She just went right out and said, "You shut up."
It looks just like Tracy Morgan.
Not stop. Okay, so I was leading into the story from New York about ICE agents detaining three workers at a seafood depot. This is Newark, New Jersey, which is, yes, a sanctuary city. They, unlike many cities, they're not working with ICE or the administration. So Newark's mayor, Ross Baraka, not happy with this, says they raided a business in the city, detained these undocumented residents as well as citizens, and without producing a warrant.
Mm.
So Trump administration, the border czar, Tom Homan, he obviously promised to carry out big raids in sanctuary cities. In this one, it sounds like they were looking for specific people that they knew were working in this fish market.
That's right. And this is also not something that was just put together overnight. I mean, how many weeks in advance, maybe months in advance, do you think Tom Homan and these ICE individuals and this agency in general has done their surveillance, has done their due diligence, and they know exactly who they're targeting? Like, this was not just created this week, right? They were probably starting this since November 6th.
They definitely were. Yeah. I mean, you could see it.
It's Tom Homan
did, Tom Homan did no shortage of interviews, and he's been saying since he was nominated or whatever he was, picked, that look, we're starting this right away.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And how many, what's the total right now?
Over 840 is the last number I saw.
840.
Mm-hmm.
Now
840, but there were 300 where they've, what is that called? There's another number. It'll go over 1,000 probably by the time, you know, by noon.
Yeah. Yep.
By the way, he's
detainers.
He
300 detainers.
Just so you know, it's somebody. I have a clip that I'm going to play later where somebody said that the numbers that we're seeing right now over the last 3 days are equivalent to 3 days in 2024.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I mean, you know, I don't know. You can believe what you want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
These might be more pronounced because of who's doing it.
Correct.
But I don't know.
Correct. I think it was Malusion or somebody yesterday, about 35% decrease in border encounters since Monday. But then again, those numbers fluctuate too. So we'll see.
So everybody's talking about the 14th Amendment because this Reagan judge out west temporarily blocked Trump's birthright citizenship order. That one, another big headline. I know we'll talk about it, but it'll, you know, it's a temporary block. And obviously, this will probably go to SCOTUS.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while. Yep, it's going to go all the way to the top.
So they want to test it.
Here's my question: is that if you cross the border pregnant, you take three steps over the border, right? And then you have a child.
You're technically an American
citizen. That child is more American than it was if you took if you had the baby three steps back. You know, I take three steps forward, I take two steps back. You know, opposites attract.
Yeah, Paula.
I'm just saying that it, like, I get it. You know, we were all born here. We're American citizens. Our parents, like, I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, this is more about the people that come over here, have a child, and then immediately leave, right?
Yeah, that's true. Where were you actually conceived at? Now we're going to get really in the weeds.
Yes, there you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Where were you conceived? I think it's important.
At a donkey show in Guadalajara.
Stop. I think it's where.
At a Filipino slap fight.
Well, I think the question is, as far as the context and the timing of the 14th Amendment, And so that's really that little tiny clause in the fort, you know. But that's why I say it's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. So a lot of headlines this morning. Phil Almquist handed me this one. I don't know if you've bought your pint of snow collected from Lincoln Financial Field after the Eagles playoff. After we won last week, which is why we're coming up on this week at 3 p.m. But they actually were gathering the snow, and they're selling it, and it immediately sold out. This is the Eagles. I'm not making this up.
You can buy a pint of snow.
Of snow.
Not a pint of half and half.
For 50 bucks.
$50.
It didn't melt?
Just buying water, basically.
They had it frozen.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're keeping them frozen.
So inside of the the sealed,
like a special
pint, it stays frozen.
Yes, stays frozen.
How much are they?
They're $50 for a pint.
Yeah. I was down at Ralph's Italian last week. It was $32 for a pint of marinara. I mean, what the hell? Capitalism, baby.
So
capitalism
bucks,
and stupid people.
$50 for snow.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a little. Is it little? Because I said they. Why is it special? I don't know if it's a little bit of yellow snow.
Oh,
well, that nasty. That I was told that goes for $75 a pint. Yeah.
Especially if it was from an eagle.
Yeah, it's like a snow cone.
So we're all talking about the Eagles, and we're very excited for the playoffs. I know we'll talk about it. Jalen Hurts looking good. But you know what else is looking good? Kitchen Magic. Thank you, Kitchen Magic, for sponsoring us. Just go to kitchenmagic.com.
Oh.
Start your worry-free remodeling journey.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt Kitchen Magic because you know I love them. But this is the... Phil has a picture of the...
Oh, the snow.
It's
snow.
On YouTube.
Let's hunt.
Yeah, it looks like a pint of Ben in the...
It does. You're right.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Is that mint chocolate chip?
28.22. It looks like a pint of... It does look like a pint of ice cream.
Yeah.
But it's snow.
It's snow.
For $50.
Wow.
But it's lucky. Right. What if it melted?
I know.
Somebody took it out of the freezer, and then it melted. That's very bad luck.
Did you see the memo here?
What?
About the Christmas tree.
At the company. Yes,
yeah.
I did. Good luck.
So, real fast, and we love you, Kitchen Magic. Real fast, we still have a Christmas tree up in the lobby here at 2400 Market.
Right. Kind of like it, actually.
And they've decided that because the Eagles have been on a winning streak since that Christmas tree went up, mm-hmm. that the Christmas tree is good luck, so we are not going to take it down.
Oh.
So if they win, that Christmas tree is going to be up through the Super Bowl.
Okay, if it is.
And nobody's allowed to touch it.
Good. Stay away from it.
They're not because we should put Eagles ornaments on it. We should
You
do
can't. No, nobody
can
touch it. Nobody
luck?
Can touch it because it's bad luck.
Oh, it's bad luck.
We have. I'm not super. This is. We have a lot of weirdos here.
Well, I mean, I feel for him.
Yeah,
I think it's cute. I think it's a cute little superstition. It's cute.
The stalker's more of this belief.
That is called stupid.
Thank you, Meryl. I appreciate that. Sorry, Kitchen Magic.
And the great Meryl Reese. Go to kitchenmagic.com today. Start your worry-free remodeling journey with a local trusted family-owned company that has been transforming kitchens for 45 years. kitchenmagic.com. 32 degrees today. What is it? 34 tomorrow, but 42 degrees for game day. It's going to feel like a heat wave Sunday, Monday, Tuesday as we heat up in the 40s.
Dolly says, keep the tree up. Okay. I mean, yeah.
Jimmy Kelly says, do you think B101 will go back to playing Christmas music?
Oh, my goodness.
That would be funny. Now, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right. Let's go. Friday morning. One last big take.
The Big Take. On Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Meineke Journalism and Jokes, How One Became the Other, the Democrat Party, the Legacy Media, and now even the Globalists. Yes, the Globalists. We will zero in on them momentarily. Are admitting defeat to the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. And it's not just a win for Donald Trump, however. This is a win for the American citizens, those who voted for him, as well as others across the globe, who have woken up, rejected the elites, the left wing, as well as dying legacy media. Journalism, regardless of the format, written or spoken word, used to be the citizen watchdogs of society. They would hold the powerful accountable. That said, with money comes bias. And in today's world, the media is bought and paid for propaganda. That is why journalism has become a joke with very few exceptions in today's world of reporting. But let's begin with the Democrat Party. According to a new CNN poll, headline reading, most Democrats think their party needs major change. CNN goes on to write, quote, a 58% majority of Democrats and Dem-leaning independents say that the Democrat Party needs major changes or to be completely reformed. Most supporters say it needs to make significant overhauls and that they feel, quote, burned out by politics. According to the poll conducted by SSRS, it is the party's lowest ratings in more than 30 years, which is pretty ironic that the Democrat Party and CNN are both at 30-year historic lows. Whether it's the direction of the party or the ratings of the once most trusted name in news, and speaking of CNN, hundreds of employees laid off yesterday as the network refocuses its failing business around a, quote, global digital audience. We'll see how that pans out. As far as the fake news, low energy, recognizable names on your screens, they're also going to be changing. Wolf Blitzer moved from 7 p.m. to 10 a.m. Jake Tapper, or as I like to call him, Fake Strapper, now on at 5 p.m. as Casey Hunt goes to his old 4 p.m. slot. And blowhard Jim Acosta, he could be banished to midnight. Yes, that is correct, midnight. Wolf Blitzer taking his 10 a.m. spot, and reports say that Acosta would rather quit than take the demotion. Why the demotion? Perhaps ratings, even more pathetic receipts of hypocrisy, and being labeled the biggest Trump basher on the network. Here is a montage of Acosta lecturing a House Republican on Wednesday, despite doing the same exact thing with Donald Trump on hoaxes like Very Fine People, Liz Cheney should be fired upon, and of course, this past summer, the bloodbath. Listen and watch.
This is not Fox, Congressman. You can't just spin a tail and pull the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah.
This is CNN. This is the news. We are asking you to come on and tell the truth.
It's an alarming choice for a man who has often struggled to unequivocally denounce white supremacists. You recall these moments.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Those words have power. They have meaning. And when Donald Trump speaks, the world listens. Neo-Nazis and white supremacists certainly listen. So why can't he denounce them? Why can't he reject their support?
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
What's your response to Donald Trump saying she should be fired, that Liz Cheney should be fired upon? He keeps speaking in these very extreme terms about the potential dangers to the country if he doesn't win in November. He's used words like bloodbath.
Now, according to media insiders, the move of Acosta to midnight is possibly being done to, quote, throw a bone to Trump, who has long been ridiculed by Jim Acosta. But if you think CNN is bad, let's go to print with the dying Washington Post. During the Biden presidency, the Washington Post's daily digital reader base shrunk by nearly 90%, internal data reveals. Semaphore reports that in January of 2021, 4 years ago, the publication had around 22.5 million daily active users, but by the middle of 2024, last summer, that number had crashed to 2.5 to 3 million daily users. Jeff Bezos has a tall task on his hands. In fact, it's so bad that a columnist resigned on Monday as the writer said that Bezos and his, quote, cronies are enabling the most acute threat to American democracy, that being Donald Trump, to push his influence over everyone. The columnist, Jennifer Rubin, quit after a series of Trump-friendly moves by her new boss. But it gets worse. The Washington Post even solicited 10 of the top journalists, in their eyes, in America, on how to, quote, cover Trump and his second term. The list of journalists included former TV news anchor Brian Williams, the editor of The New Yorker, former executive editor of the LA Times, former executive of the New York Times, Don Lemon, C-SPAN executives, and Katie Couric. What a joke. You are a newspaper that has been around forever. If you don't know how to fairly do your job, maybe you should just cease operations. You know, it's one thing to defeat the Democrats. Along with that comes defeating the media, because they're in lockstep together. But if you can get an admission from the globalists, that is the icing on the cake. And Trump has said for years, I want to drive out the globalists. The World Economic Forum is meeting once again. I like to call them the WEF Weevils, the WEF Weasels, and the Davos D-Bags. This is what it sounded like in Davos earlier this week, as they admit they might have misread the room and the power of Donald Trump. Listen and watch this.
Trump has done something no person in the world has ever done before. A dead man, a dead politician, has risen. Somebody who, four years ago at Davos, he's buried, a dead politically, known to me. He's now returned. This is the greatest comeback in political history of a politician. And then, therefore, he thinks he can do anything.
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. And I guess I would add, throw into that, that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe. That the European Union and, by and large, its member states have misread the direction where events were going.
The causes that it is interested in, climate, human rights, some others, as well as the methods of diplomacy that it prefers, are simply being gradually kind of marginalized as something new, not necessarily something better, but something new moves into the center.
Something new, but not necessarily better. No, it's a return to common sense. It is a rejection of globalism, from the Soroses to the Schwabs to the John Kerrys, lecturing us about climate change while getting on their private flights and flying around the world. And all of these globalists that were pushing their agenda on us, it has been met with staunch pushback and quotes that I'll never personally forget, such as, "You will own nothing and be happy." Are you happy that you can't afford to purchase and own property in 2025? I'm not. And I'm looking to purchase. Populist candidates on the rise globally. Europe, Argentina, the United States, soon to be Canada. But lastly, speaking of public admissions, never thought I would read this from Politico. Headline, "Time to admit it. Trump is a great president, and he's still trying to be a good one." John F. Harris, the founder of Politico, writes, quote, "Donald J. Trump, in his second inaugural address, was everything his supporters hoped he would be. Breathtakingly expansive about his intentions, and he was also everything his adversaries feared. He is not a fluke, he is a force of history," end quote. The 2024 vision of Democrats, that is history. CNN, The Washington Post, history. And the WEF misread the room. And the rest is history. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem today. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. 855-839-1210. That is how you jump aboard. We'll get you updated on everything with ICE, Tom Homan, deportations, and also Donald J. Trump saying, you know what? JFK, RFK, MLK, release the files. What does it include? What does that mean for the safety of Trump? And if everything will be released, we're not going to expect or accept redactions, are we? No Sharpies, right? 855-839-1210. We're back after this on a Friday. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
If you think about it so far, Dawn, the Democrats' rally cry in 2025 or for the last week of Trump inauguration hysteria is no human is illegal. Elon threw up a Nazi salute. ICE is going to go into schools and January 6th pardons. It's just the same playbook as it has been for countless years now. But I just loved seeing that admission from those weasels over in Davos yesterday. That's huge.
Wait, what did you call them? The Davos?
The WEF weasels and the Davos D-bags. WEF weasels. They'll play in a best of seven coming up later this fall. So there you go. Your thoughts?
Well, I love when he, first of all, he was on his A game. So if you did a compare and contrast between when he does, he's doing a favor to his friend Sean, you know, and he's doing the interview. Then contrast the way Trump looks when he's in his wheelhouse.
And he's on Zoom.
And he's on Zoom. Because he's like, I'm way too busy to go in person to Davos, Switzerland.
Yes.
which then all these people were coming out going, yeah, it's actually a dump, and the slopes aren't that, I mean, it's Switzerland. I mean, come on. But he doesn't go. But then he gets up there and just owns it, and then kind of just whips around the CEOs and tells Brian, you know, Brian, isn't his name Brian, who just got a raise of $39 million up from $36
million. Oh, nice.
Brian, is this Bank of America, I think? Yeah. You better be nice.
Right.
It's like a mama's Yoli. You better be nice to our conservatives, because I hear you guys in the banking, you haven't been very nice.
Well, and he was very much saying that he wants to do business with these banks, right? I mean, you talk about Bank of America, and there's this statement out there. And I, again, take it for what it's worth. I'll just leave it as allegedly Bank of America, quote, debanked conservatives. But Bank of America released a statement, and I don't know when this is from. It could have been years ago. It could have been this week. I don't know. Bank of America serves more than 70 million clients, and we welcome conservatives. We would never close accounts for political reasons and don't have a political litmus test, although there are many people that claim that they were debanked for being a Trump supporter, a conservative, whatever you want to call yourself.
We have that audio.
Do we?
Yeah, Phil, you want to pull up cut nine here? Since we're talking about it, we might as well play it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go.
This is the bank.
By the way, speaking of you, and you've done a fantastic job, but I hope you start opening your bank to conservatives, because many conservatives complain that the banks are not allowing them to do business within the bank, and that included a place called Bank of America. They don't take conservative business, and I don't know if the regulators mandated that because of Biden or what, but you and Jamie and everybody, I hope you're going to open your banks to conservatives, because what you're doing is wrong.
About that,
Mr. President, I'll say your friend Gianni told me to tell you hello, and we look forward to sponsoring the World Cup when it comes, both this summer for the club and next year. So thank you for getting that for the United States.
About that, 8 years ago, a lot of those people over there sitting there on that stage thought that this was a blip on the radar. They wanted to reject Trump. They wanted to deny the movement. And now, 8 years later, it's like, all right, we admit it. We accept it. How can we make the best of our situation?
Kiss the ring. But it was Bank of America CEO. It was Brian Moynihan, but also obviously Jamie Dimon.
Yes.
And both over, like, yesterday, we learned their biggity-big raises, how much these guys make. So Brian's bonus or total package or whatever went from $36 million to, I believe, $39 million. And I think Jamie Dimon, his went up to, like, $42
million. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. Those are tough times.
Yeah, tough times.
That's Bidenomics for you.
Yeah, I know. That 3% raise, that cost of living adjustment, I don't know that you're going to get by on
tough
that.
Tough times.
I will say this, though, and I had this conversation with my wife's uncle yesterday, who I've referenced many times on this show. He's part Bobby Kennedy, part Alex Jones. He's super right on some issues and then drastically left on the other. It's like his left butt cheek and his right butt cheek, and they eventually come to one, together as one as they wrap around. And he said to me, because we're talking about, like,
we don't want to picture the uncle's butt cheek.
Because, you know, eventually if you're so far left and you're so far right, they actually come back around to meet, if you think about it, right? You might need a Venn diagram or two. And we were talking about, you know, the border and the executive actions. And, you know, he voted for Trump again this time because he knew that Kamala was awful. He didn't vote for Trump in 20, but he did vote against Hillary in 16. So he's been on, off, and back on. And he said to me, he goes, let me know when, and he was criticizing Trump. He goes, let me know when he prevents the big corporations from buying up real estate and making every one of us have to rent properties because of, you know, all these big conglomerates that are purchasing all this real estate. And I actually think that'll probably be his toughest challenge. I know he put in, Trump signed off on the executive order of the cost of living crisis, which includes energy, which includes housing, obviously, like your groceries. Now, all that type of stuff will come down. If you start with energy, everything else will kind of fall into place. But that is my question. And I was doing some research last night searching for, you know, what type of impact Trump can have. I know he said that he wants the Fed to lower interest rates. That's only a piece of the puzzle. But there's a lot of state and local restrictions, regulations, and red tape that a president has to try to find a way to massage or cut through to get the housing market to be more affordable. And that is, look, if my groceries go down, if my heating and air conditioning and gas prices go down, that's great. But I think all of us, if we're objectively looking at it, are wondering if you're in the market to buy or if you're looking at real estate, whatever it might be, how are we going to make home ownership affordable again? Because that to me is the American dream, is it not? Like, you want to be able to purchase a home. Me and my wife purchased a home once in 2009 when we were 25, and we're at a point right now, short of, unless we get some unbelievable loan offer where it's like we only have to put like 1% or 2% down or closing assistance, home ownership for the home that we want to buy. Now, I could buy a $400,000 crack house, but I want something that I feel like is great for my kids for the next 15 years through college. It's a pipe dream.
Be nice to that mother-in-law.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
She's the key.
Right. She is.
She's the key and the key keeper.
I need to find her debit card. maybe I'll just yank an ATM out of one of her events with the minivan and we'll throw some deadbolt locks over it. Now, lastly, I want to get to the border yesterday. This, I think, probably the biggest story outside of the admission of defeat from those over in Switzerland. Phil Omquist, can we have clip K2? This is great work, not only by ICE, but also by Bill Malusian, as a Haitian immigrant that has committed, I believe if I heard the story correctly yesterday, 17 prior convictions.
17.
Yes. Rounded on up and on his way out. And he had some choice words for not only the current president, but also pleasantries for past administrations. Clip K2, Phil.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
ICE Boston quickly takes down its next targets, including this illegal alien from Brazil, who has an Interpol red notice for armed robbery. This Salvadoran illegal alien charged locally with rape and released by a sanctuary jurisdiction.
Señor, ¿cómo se llama?
And this Dominican illegal alien charged with assault with a deadly weapon and heroin trafficking. Officers also arrested this Guatemalan MS-13 gang member facing gun charges. ICE says he was released from local custody just the day before. Their detainer request was ignored because of sanctuary policies. And in a sign of shifting priorities with the new Trump administration, this man, who was in the same apartment as the target, was also arrested after ICE determined he's also in the U.S. illegally. This is what ICE calls collateral.
I call that going home. So, Phil, if you can have K3. So, in conclusion, we have that Haitian convicted felon on 17 different charges roaming our streets in the United States of America. I'm not going back to Haiti. F Trump. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Obama. Tom Homan, your thoughts on the Haitian immigrant that says he's not going back to Haiti? Clip K3.
You see that video. I'm curious. What do you think?
Well, he's wrong. He's going back to Haiti. I tell him that.
He's going back to Haiti. Don, he said it. He said Trump said we're going to do this on day one. Homan has done all the media tours, and now we're looking at probably roughly give or take 1,000, and we're not even done with the business week yet.
A couple things. Number one, I don't know if everybody heard him. Initially, he said, because we have to bleep it out, but he curses and then says Trump.
Mm-hmm. He says F Trump.
Yep.
And then goes on to thank Biden and even Obama. There were some people online who were accusing, you know, Republicans of staging this, that these were actors.
No.
Because it was so, like, you know what I mean?
It's the ad. It's, that's your ad right there for 2026.
That's it. These guys are, you know, accused of heinous crimes.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'll just point to, because I showed Michael last night, and so I go, Michael, because he's going into criminology, I go, look at, and the first thing he noticed was, he goes, oh, look, they used to wear, it said ICE,
mm-hmm.
now it says police,
yep.
federal agent,
mm-hmm. yep.
and so they're trying to show some uniformity and not have ICE,
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, that's really observant, I didn't even notice that, I thought that was interesting, and is that something,
yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say, I don't know when that switchover happened.
Yeah. You think you want that person in your neighborhood, in your community?
Well,
that was right there. For all the hate has no home here, nobody's an illegal. You want that person walking around your sidewalk?
Is it on that report, Greg? Because at some point...
Oh, there's more. I have the entire thing.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to give it away.
I'm going to play it later. There
full version at 7:45.
There is an answer, and it's kind of emotional, but there's an answer to your question in there of how the people in the neighborhood actually feel about when they saw these raids go down.
Yep. 855-839-1210. We'll give you some numbers as to the success rate so far at the border and deportation-wise when we come back to wrap up the hour. Dawn will have some news. And then we will get to, in hour number two, the declassification of JFK, RFK, and MLK. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles featuring the latest luxury vehicles. And these are from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs, innovative features, powered by the very latest in technology. And right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles, and they're available across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. P-I-A-Z-Z-A. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Just to wrap up our conversation at the border, the number of Border Patrol encounters, this is the latest as of last evening on FoxNews.com at the southern border, through three full days of the Trump administration, the encounters by CBP is 35% lower than the final 3 days of the Biden administration, the sources said. The numbers do not include encounters at the northern border or encounters at ports of entry by Customs and Border Protection's office. On January 17th, there was 1,288 encounters nationwide. That dwindled down to 1,266, went back up to 1,354 on the 19th, a total of 3,900. With Trump taking office, they were down 1,073, then down to 736 total on the 21st, and then down to 714 on the 22nd, making up 2,523. So about a 35% decline in week one, but we know that those numbers can fluctuate.
And we don't know where that is, where that relates to this time last year?
Correct. Does not say in this article.
Year over year or year. Right. Whatever
usually
they say.
It's the fiscal year.
Fiscal year, yeah.
So. By the way, when does the fiscal year? That starts in February, I think, right? Fiscal year? February? Sorry. Or is it December? Oh, well, we'll figure
I thought it,
out it
was... Then. I thought it started in end of October.
End of October?
July. Right?
As usual, I was way off.
Way off.
Way off. 855-839-1210. Hour two is on the way. Dawn will have some news. And then the declassification of JFK, RFK, and MLK. Will we have any bombshell revelations?
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.